Fantastic. Hey, going church? Oh, come on. This is Fremantle. How's it going, church? Why don't you be seated? Come on, Rachel. Why don't you come up and say a quick g'day? So good to be able to be with you this morning. I've been looking forward to this weekend. It's like the highlight of the year. Don't you staunch me out now. We're going to have a great morning this morning, but I thought it'd be great for Rachel to say a quick g'day. This is she's hot. This is Rachel. We've been married for 20 years, and I thought it'd be just great to get up to say g'day, and she might just share a few thoughts.
Right, okay. Hi, everyone, and thank you for your very, very lovely welcome. So nice to be here. It's always a privilege to be in somebody else's church. And thank you so much. Your senior pastors are just awesome people. Pastor Nigel and Pastor Andrea are just flipping amazing. Let's give them a shout out this morning. I do mean this with all sincerity of heart, is that you have fantastic senior pastors. And I just want to encourage you this morning to get behind the vision, look after them, honor them, care for them, and do everything you can to work alongside them to build the Church of Jesus Christ. I just want to encourage you this morning that the Church of Jesus Christ is alive and well. It is the hope of the world, and it is God's agent of change across the planet. And I just want to encourage you that your best days are ahead of you. They are not behind you, and you are not in your best days right now. That was the thought that I woke up with this morning when I was just talking to the Holy Spirit. He said, Rachel, tell them today that the best days are ahead of them. They're not behind them. You're not even in them right now. Did you know that? Like, these are good days and these are great days, but you know what? The Bible tells me very clearly that the path of the righteous winds upwards and gets brighter and brighter and brighter. So I want to tell you today that take hope. Be strong and very courageous. We do live in dark times and we live in challenging times, but Jesus didn't promise good times all the time. He said, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. And he said to us, all things are possible. He said to Joshua, be strong and very courageous, because every place you put your feet, I've given it to you. You know what? We have territory to take back from the devil. Are you with me, church? We have a generation to win. We have a nation to win, and we have nations to win. And one thing I feel about this church is that you have a great heart for nations. And I really believe that God is going to use this church, not just in this land, but in the nations of the world. And I believe that you will have great impact in many, many lands. So be strong, church. Be courageous, church. Take the devil at his, like, give it to him. Tell him he's just a liar, liar, pants on fire. And deal the word of God to him, and let's see this city and this nation change for Jesus. Thank you for having us. We love you. We believe in Western Australia. We so love all the pastors in this part of this country. Bless you. And I just know that you are going to be so impacted by the word of God this morning. Open your heart, because God loves you. He believes in you, and you are so precious to him today. And it's an honor to be with you. Love you. Bless you so much.
Thanks, Rach. Look, I do really want to underscore and just reiterate, thanks so much, Nigel and Pastor Andrea, Pastor Nigel, for having us this weekend, for inviting us to be a part of what's happening here right now. You see, I don't know if you realise that what we're doing this morning is we're not actually having a meeting. This is not just a room somewhere in Western Australia. We're having an encounter with God. God's here. He's inhabiting our praises. And I reckon if there's one thing he'd like to say to you this morning, and that is, it's okay. I just get this sense in my heart as we're worshipping together that there are maybe two or three, maybe numbers of you this morning, you're feeling like you're a little bit overwhelmed. And you're holding back, and maybe a little bit in your heart, because it's been a tough year. You know, your stuff doesn't scare God. He's not scared of your stuff. He's not scared of my stuff. He loves us incredibly, accepts us just as we are. He doesn't shun us, hold us at arm's length or at bay and say, you're a little bit different, so you know, it's a little bit funky, He says, I love you, I accept you, I embrace you, faults, good things, bad things, the whole lot. I love you incredibly, just as you are. And I reckon he wants to say to you this morning, it's okay. It's totally okay. The ground may feel like it's shaking, the heavens may feel like they're opening and it's just all hanging down. It's okay. God doesn't change. He's all powerful. He's everywhere present. He has no opposite. I mean, go figure. He's all-powerful, has no opposites. There is nobody like him on the face of the planet. Never has been, never ever will be. There's nobody that can love you like he does. There's nobody that can accept you like he does. And he loves you and he says to you, it's okay. Father, I thank you that you're here this morning. I thank you that we're having an encounter with you this morning and that your presence is not just here, but it radiates out of this great church. Well, I thank you, Lord, that it's impacting the surrounding communities, Lord, that Port Care is having a profound impact in this great part of this nation. But I thank you that you tell us to go and love God, each other, and our community. What a great vision. But Father, I pray right now that you'd give us the ability to hear what you want to say to us this morning. Lord, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive. We welcome you, welcome your presence this morning. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. I thought I'd just like just to maybe just share real quickly a little bit about ourselves. I've been married for 20 years. We have four kids. I know it's hard to believe when you look at me. How can you look so young and have four kids? Well, you know, it's just like, yeah, hey, you know, I'm a Kiwi. I'm moving along. Anyway, but we've been in the country. Thank you, High Five. We've been in the country for 18 months. We call ourselves, yeah, this is our home. We call Australia home. Never had any idea that we'd end up living in Australia, but God has other ideas. And when we say, God, have your way with our lives, sometimes we find ourselves in different places. Is that not true? And we love being a part of this great movement. As Pastor Nigel was saying, we were with Pastor Paul DeYoung in Auckland at a church called Life. We were there for 17 years having the time of our lives, and God began to speak to us and say, I've got more for you. Will you trust me with your future? Never, as I said before, had any idea that we'd live in Australia. Not that we don't like Australia or Australians. We love you. And we love being here, and we feel so privileged to be able to be a part of this great movement, seeing God impacting and changing the generations with the truth and the reality of Jesus. An incredible thought that the thing we have in common this morning is I've never met you. You've never met me. You might have heard my name, might have heard about Rachel, but the thing we have in common, no matter where you're from across the face of the globe, the thing we have in common this morning is that isn't it true that Jesus changed our lives? That's the thing we have in common, that we're part of the family of God. Whether you're from Liberia, whether you're from Malaysia, Singapore, New Zealand, the Pacific Islands, wherever you're from, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the thing we have in common is he changed our lives. I'm so glad. You come on, why don't we just thank him? Thank him for what he's done, who he is. I've often asked myself, but if I was sitting with God right now, if you can imagine just a chair right here on the stage, if God was here sitting on a chair, I wonder what we'd talk about. I wonder what things he would want to talk about. I wonder what things that I would want to talk about with him. And I wonder what questions I would ask him. I'd probably ask him, you know, a lot of different things. One thing I do know that is that if he was here, and he is here, because he inhabits our praises, he gets... His presence comes when we gather together to worship him. One thing I do know that if he was here and he is here, that we'd actually have a lot of fun together. We'd have a lot of time to laugh and to talk and he'd probably, you know, he'd probably shock us all about how he could relate with us and to us. Because he accepts us just as we are. I wonder what you'd want to ask him. I wonder what he would actually say to you individually. I wonder what he would say to C3 Fremantle. I wonder what questions he would want to talk with us about. What I do know is that whatever question you might have for him, I know that the answer to your question is found in God's word. See, God's word is truth in every situation. It's not just truth in salvation. It's truth in every situation, every circumstance in life. It provides for us guidelines for us to live our life and negotiate our life from A to B successfully. The thing is, he is here, and he does care, and he accepts us just as we are. But I reckon there would be a number of questions that he might actually want to ask us this morning. And the first of those questions is this, is where are you? You see, you can be here and you can be present in body but absent in your mind. You can be here present in body but you can be absent in spirit. Where are you? I reckon that's a great question here that she said to us. Where are you locating yourself right now? You know, the sun's not shining that bright outside, so why would you want to go to the beach on a cloudy day? The beach is a great place any day, I reckon. But I reckon he would say to us, where are you? And why don't you open your Bibles with me this morning? We're going to read from Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. And this is a question that he actually asked Adam and Eve at a pivotal point in their life. And there's you're maybe at a pivotal point in your life right now. This is a pivotal point in time. We can't get back today after it's gone. It's a moment. It's a time with God that's precious, that it's unique. We want to receive all that we can from him. Reading from verse 1 in Genesis chapter 3, it reads like this. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you'll die." "You surely won't die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Verse 6, "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. When the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized that they were naked, they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.' And he said, 'Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I've commanded you not to eat from?' Then the man said, 'The woman you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit from the tree, and I ate it.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you've done?'" An interesting question that God comes to Adam. The first question he asks him when he sinned is, "Where are you?" As a young guy growing up, I was always into adventure. I was always trying to get into trouble. I know you look at the space, how can that be? There's this lady who was a part of our lives. Her name was Mrs. Robinson. Mrs. Robinson was a big lady, strong lady. And my parents would often take me to her home where she had a son that was the same age as I was. And she would look after me when my parents were busy. This one particular day, it's kind of etched in my mind, clear as anything. Can see the color of the sky. I can still remember the feel of the cool air on my face. As I was at the front of their property, and I had this overwhelming feeling that I wanted to run. I wanted to go home. I didn't want to be there. I just wanted to get out of there. Didn't know why I felt like that. I just wanted to go home. I wanted my mum. I wanted out. So what did I do? I looked at my friend Andrew. I looked at the road, looked at my friend Andrew, and then I was gone. You know, running down the road, 1,000 miles an hour, my little legs, a bit like really the Incredibles, like little guy, you know, Jack. But I remember running along the road, and I was on a mission. I was going home. I remember looking over my shoulders, almost like in slow motion, "No." As Mrs. Robinson came out with her apron around her, tied around her, you know, drying her hands, looking down the road, and seeing me, she began to run after me. And I remember, oh my goodness, my legs began to run faster and faster and faster. You could hardly see them. They're like a little blur. And I remember getting home, and I remember going to open the door. Nobody was there. The door was locked. And so I hid. I hid under this trailer that was parked in the backyard. And I still remember being under the trailer, my heart beating, because I'd been sprinting. And I still remember thinking, "I hope she doesn't find me." You ever been in a situation where you've run and you hid because you're in trouble? Do you know that feeling? Can you go there right now? And I remember hearing Mrs. Robinson as she walked in on the driveway, the stones crunch, crunch, crunch. And she's calling out my name, "Where are you? I know you're here." And I'm just... and I'm hoping she doesn't see me. And she's like 5-10 minutes looking for me, calling out my name, and I'm not going to answer her because I know that if I answer her, you know, and not that she loved me and she was concerned about that. She wanted to know where I was because I was in her care. And it was like, I was thinking, I'm going to get away with this. I was only a little guy, and I was thinking, I'm going to get away with this. And all of a sudden she says, "I can see you." And she goes, "Get out from underneath the trailer." And I remember just like swallowing hard, you know, oh my goodness. I get out from underneath the trailer, and I remember her grabbing me, and I remember her embracing me and saying, "Why did you run away? Why did you run away?" The question that she was asking me was, "Where are you? Where are you?" And I reckon God would say the same thing to us this morning, is you don't have to run from God. You don't have to run away when you've maybe messed it up. The first thing that God says to Adam in the garden when he messed up, maybe the first thing that you feel like when you've messed up, maybe this week, you've had a challenging time, maybe that you know for whatever reason, the sin that's been a part of your week. Hey, we all mess up. None of us are perfect. We're all on our way from brokenness to wholeness. But the thing he'd say to us this morning is where are you? The thing Mrs. Robinson was concerned about was I was in her care. She was looking after me. She wanted to care for me, and she needed to know where I was, and she didn't want me to be afraid. This morning, God cries out to each one of us and says, where are you? You don't have to hide from me. I'm not going to hurt you. I want to care for you. I want to embrace you. It's okay. You could be here this morning and you can say, well, look, you know, I've heard it all before. You know, rah-de-rah, I've been a Christian for a long time. But let me tell you what, knowing Christ is the most incredible thing in all the world. Knowing Jesus, for me, it was like somebody turned the color up on the television set that day that I prayed the prayer and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. Something happened. Something changed. And I'm so grateful for that. But there have been moments and times in my life where I know that I've messed it up. I messed it up big time. And I know that there have been times when God's called out to me and he's called out through his Holy Spirit and said, where are you? I love you. I'm wanting to have intimate relationship with you. I care about you. Who told you you were naked? Who told you you were broken? I love you. I accept you just as you are. First question, where are you this morning? Are you here or are you somewhere else? You know, we can be here and we can fake it till we make it. We can raise our hands, we can say all the right things. But in our hearts, we can be far away from God. We can be trying to hide from him. You know, we can't hide anything from him. We don't need to hide anything from him. He accepts us and loves us just as we are. The second thing I reckon he'd say to us is, why are you so afraid? He said to Adam and Eve, why were you afraid? Why did you go and hide? Why are you afraid? Somebody once said it is the most natural thing in the world to be scared. The clearest evidence that God's grace is at work in our hearts is when we do not get into panics. The remarkable thing about fearing God is that when we fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. There have been many times in my life when I've been afraid. I used to be afraid of flying. Rachel still doesn't really enjoy flying. She grabs hold of my hand or my leg and looks at me and goes, are we going to be okay? I go, of course we are. This is awesome. Bit of turbulence hanging around. Are we going to be okay? Yeah, baby. This is awesome. There have been times in my life though where fear has gripped my heart where I don't want to move. I remember going tramping with my dad, and my dad passed away earlier this year. I remember this one particular time that we were going to this place called the Twins, and there's these two mountain ranges close to where we lived, and from those mountain ranges, you could see the whole like bay of where we lived. It was a beautiful place. But I remember going up to this place called the Twins, and there's this little ledge you had to walk across, and he just kind of trundled across and said, your turn. And I stood on the edge thinking, I can't do this. And I remember fear gripping my heart, and I just couldn't move. It's almost like it paralyzed me. There have been times when I've been afraid of circumstances and situations, times when I would be so afraid I wouldn't say anything in front of people. And you may say, well, I can't see that you'd be afraid of speaking in front of people now. No, but let me tell you, I was the guy that wouldn't say boo to a goose. I was the guy that when it was time to do the speeches in the school, I was sick. I'm not well today. I got a cold. I feel sick. I was the guy that just, when I went to try and speak publicly, that I'd get my words so tangled, I'd just make an absolute mess and feel so embarrassed. There are times when I was so afraid in life where I'd go to bed and I'd hear Mum and Dad fighting in the other room and wonder when I got up in the morning, would they both be there? See, this morning you might be afraid of things in life too. You may be afraid of the circumstances that you find yourself in this morning. You might be confronted by circumstances and situation where it's gripped your heart and you're afraid and you don't know how to move forward. You know, the Bible tells us this. God says to us, he says, fear not, for I'm with you. It says in Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 3, fear not, for I've redeemed you. What does the word redeemed mean there? It's such a beautiful picture. It means I've saved you. I've made it up for you. I've exchanged places. I've paid the price for you. I've delivered you from sin. You don't have to be afraid. There are times in my life where I was afraid that I'd make the wrong decision, make the wrong choices. I remember going another time with Dad tramping, and he'd have this map. And I was only, like, I remember the first time we ever went, like, I was about 11, and I was carrying this pack. It was the size of Mount Everest on my back. And he had this map, and we'd be walking along the track, and I remember one particular time we lost the track. And I remember that feeling of overwhelming fear, thinking, where are we going? And I'd say to him, do you know where we're going? He'd go, yeah, totally. But I could see him looking around. You know, with God, we don't need to be afraid of where we're going. The Bible says if we acknowledge God in all of our plans, He make a path straight. That the steps of a good person are ordered and are directed by God. That the path of the righteous winds upwards. The greatest days are yet to come. That if we acknowledge God in all of our ways, He make our path straight. God has the map. The map's the Word of God. It tells us how to negotiate from where we are to where we're going to go successfully. We don't have to be afraid. I wonder what you're fearful of this morning. Maybe you'd say, well, I'm not actually afraid of anything. I'd say, well, that's fantastic. But if you were here this morning and you're saying, I am afraid, what are you afraid of? Maybe it's separation from God. Maybe it's actually feeling like you're never going to be good enough, never going to be able to do enough. Well, the truth is that none of us are. That's why Jesus came. You know, maybe you're fearful of circumstances and situations, of having to pay the price for something. Maybe you're fearful of being found out of something that you've done. I said at the beginning, your stuff doesn't scare God. He accepts you just as you are. You know, the disciples were fearful. We read about them in Matthew 8, verses 23 to 27. They were fearful of having to encounter a storm in life by themselves. You know, we don't have to go through life alone, and we don't go through life alone. The disciples found themselves in a situation where they'd sit out, and it was a blue sky day. The water was calm. Jesus was in the boat with them. And all of a sudden, a storm rose up. The waves were like just so high. The boat was being tossed around, and they're freaking out. They're panicking. Isn't it true in life that sometimes storms come, and they can overwhelm us? They can feel like the waves are like just so 10 feet tall, and then we're going to sink. Remember that old song that you may used to sing when you were little with Christ in the vessel, we can at the storm? What did the disciples do? They panicked, they worried, but then they went and they woke up Jesus who was asleep in the storm. You see, we don't have to encounter the storms in life by ourselves because we have Christ. We have Christ in our lives. He's with us. What did he do when he saw the storm? He stood up, he rebuked the storm, and everything went calm again. You know, when we acknowledge Christ in the storms in our lives and we allow him to come in, He speaks to the storm, brings peace. Have you ever considered the thought this morning that God's word in your mouth is just as powerful as what it was in his mouth when he spoke and he created the world? That God's word in your mouth is just as powerful as what it was in his mouth when he created the world, when he spoke and said, let there be. See, God's given you and I an incredible ability when we're feeling like we're afraid. It's to one, to run to him because he's in the boat with us. Second thing, to allow him to speak through us, allow his word to speak through us at the storm. No matter what circumstance, situation you find yourself in this morning, you have an incredible inside advantage. I'm so glad that I've got that advantage. Often though, the problem is I forget to acknowledge that Jesus is in the boat. Do you know what I mean? And I begin to become overwhelmed, worried, concerned, thinking that I'm not going to make it, thinking that it's too much and that I can't go on. And then all these scenarios are painted in my mind about what could happen. Then I realize that Jesus is in the boat. Rachel, she's a babe. Often, and it's just a statement, she's a babe, full stop. Often there have been times when she said to me, hey, Adrian, it's okay, God's with us. It's going to be okay. He's for us, he's not against us. And that's been all it's needed to be for me to be able to recalibrate my heart. Pastor Nigel and Andrew, other pastors on the staff, I'm sure at times when you've gone to them and said to them, you know, this is going on in my life, and they've been able to say, hey, it's okay. God's with you. I really believe that right now, God's speaking to a number of you in this room because your heart is full of fear. Other people have let you down. People have hurt you, they've broken your heart. Maybe you've had business dealings and people have actually ripped you off. maybe been a part of churches and what's happened is that, you know, things have gone sideways, not as you would have imagined. Maybe you've reached out and you believed God and it didn't actually happen as you quite thought it would have done. You don't have to be afraid. God's with you. He's here. He wants to reach into your world and he wants to bring peace and he wants to bring calm. And I reckon that the last question that he'd want to ask us this morning, and that is this. I reckon he'd want to say to us, what are you living for? What are you living for? William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said this. He said, what are you living for? What is the deep secret purpose that controls and fashions your existence? What do you eat and drink for? What is the end of your marrying and your giving in marriage, your money making, your toiling and your plans? Is it the salvation of souls, the overthrow of the kingdom of evil and the setting up of the kingdom of God? If not so, you might be religious, but I don't see how you could possibly be a Christian. What are you living for? What is it that you're passionate about? What is it that, what's the thing that really just kind of flicks your switch? What is it that, what's the dream that you live for? What is it that excites you? Because I've got an incredible plan for your life. It's a plan for good and not for evil. A plan to give you a future and a hope. I want to pour out my spirit through your life. People want to know what you know. What are you living for? Right now, I want to shatter a myth that says this, that people don't want to know what happens at C3 Fremantle when they drive past on a Sunday morning or during the week. People want to know about what happens here. They want to know about what goes on in your life. They want to know about what, why is it whenever you walk in the room that things happen, the atmosphere changes? It's because you carry the presence of God. See, God doesn't just leave our lives when we walk out of the door on a Sunday morning. We're a Monday church. God's presence stays on our lives. His word is working incredibly mightily in us. When you walk into your workplace, to your school, to your neighborhood, you carry the presence of God. And God wants to say to you this morning is, what is it you're living for? Because you contain the greatest thing in all the world. You have a relationship with me. The reason that you know me is because I want you to let your light shine. You're called to let your light shine before all men. Bring out the God colors of the world. You're here to bring out the God flavors in the world. Bring out his flavors wherever you go. Rachel, often when she'd go to the preschool with her kids at times, people would say to her, what is it about you? Whenever I'm with you, I feel like I can change the world. I feel like I'm so peaceful. What is it that you're living for? Just some simple questions that I reckon here God would ask us this morning. We're talking about the questions that God would ask. Where are you? Why are you afraid? What are you living for? I reckon there'll be one more thing he'd ask us this morning, and that is this. Is it, who do you say that I am? In Matthew 16, verses 13 to 16, Jesus, he asked some people, asked his disciples, he said, who do you say that I am? Some of them said, you're a good man, a prophet. Some people might say to you that Jesus is a crutch to lean on. Jesus was born at Christmas. He's the Savior of the world. You may say this morning, he's my best friend, he's my healer. But who do you say who Jesus is experientially for you? This morning you might be here, and this might be your very first time to C3 Fremantle. This may be your very first time that you've come to church. Maybe you came to church with a friend this morning and you thought, you know what, I'll just go with them today because if I go once, then they'll just get off my case. Maybe you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you know it's been some time since you feel like your heart was truly excited about him. This morning as I was got out and I was sitting out on the balcony on some seats, Rachel said to me, she said, look at that flag over there on that building. It looks like it's time for a change. Looked across and there was this Australian flag flying, but it was really tattered. Looked like it needed to be replaced. Instantly, I felt the Holy Spirit say, there are going to be people who are in the meeting this morning. And the flag that they've got raised, it's tattered because they're weary. The flag that they've got hoisted is of one of, it's indecision. Will I continue to follow Christ or will I not? And I reckon this morning he wants to say to us, are you willing to put on a new flag and raise a new flag? Allow it to declare who you are and whose you are and what you believe in. He loves you this morning, church. He's here. You may not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but the thing that is wonderful about Jesus is that he accepts us just as we are, loves us just as we are, The Bible says that as many as would receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Anybody from any walk of life. I'm so grateful that God, he doesn't say, you're okay, I picked this one, not that one, this one, this one, not that one. That he loves us equally just the same. And you may have never, ever, ever prayed that prayer this morning acknowledging Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you're saying, you know, Adrian, this morning I really would like to acknowledge and I'd like to initiate a relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you this morning, in a moment I'm going to give you an opportunity, and all I'm simply going to do is we're going to get everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes to give people privacy. And I'm going to ask the question, if that's you, you want to initiate a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. I'll see it, I'll acknowledge you, get you to put your hand down, and then we're going to pray together. All right? So why don't we do that right now? Why don't you close your eyes, bow your head? We've been talking about this morning about the questions that God asks. Where are you? Why are you afraid? What are you living for? And who do you say that I am? And if that's you this morning saying, Adrian, I've never ever initiated a relationship with Jesus. I've never ever prayed that prayer. If you're saying, Adrian, this morning I really would like to. I want to initiate a relationship with Jesus Christ. He loves you, he cares about you, accepts you just as you are. If that's you right now, when you pop up your hand, I'd love to be able to acknowledge who you are this morning. I'd love to be able to pray for you this morning. He loves you, he cares about you. Saying, Adrian, that's me, would you pray for me? I want to initiate a relationship with Jesus. From the left to the right, the front to the back, God bless you, thank you so much, ma'am. I can see your hand. Are there others this morning saying, Adrian, that's me. I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've never prayed that prayer. But I want to initiate that relationship with him that you're talking about this morning. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Or you're here this morning, and for whatever reason, you find yourself away from him in your heart. Maybe circumstances have happened where it's hurt your heart. You've become disappointed. Maybe people have let you down, or you just, for whatever reason, you find yourself away from God. You feel like the flag that you got flying certainly doesn't reflect who he is or a relationship with Christ. It's pretty tattered. Saying, I really want to raise, thanks so much, brother. I see you. I'm away from him in my heart. I'm a Christian, but I'm away from him in my heart. Would you pray for me this morning? If that's you right now, right across this great auditorium, saying, I want to rededicate my life to Christ. I want to get back on track. Who are you right now? Just quickly raise up your hand. I want to be able to pray for you this morning. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. You know, it's okay. Right now, God's here. His presence is here. And if that's you this morning saying, I'm away from him in my heart, I don't want to rush this moment. Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you so much for your courage. Just saying, I'm away from him in my heart. I've been feeling him questioning me. I've been feeling him drawing me, tugging at my heart, saying, I'm longing for a relationship with you. You don't have to hide. You don't have to be afraid. If that's you, you're away from him in your heart. Just quickly, raise up your hand. I'll see you. Let's pray together this morning. Let's start. Thank you so much, champion. Absolute legend. Others this morning saying, that's me. Just quickly, raise up your hand. Significant moment right now. Thank you, Jesus. Fantastic. Awesome, church. Why don't you open up your eyes, look at me. Why don't you stand with me this morning? I said that we're going to pray together. And I totally mean that we're going to pray together. But what I'd also love to be able to do is I'd love to be able to shake your hand. I'd love to be able to pray with you and encourage you in the decision that you've just made. So what I'd ask you to do right now, and that is this, and as soon as I ask you to come, don't hold back. Just let your foot begin to move. If that's you saying, you know, I'm acknowledging Christ for the very first time, or I've been away from him in my heart, I want to get it right today. I want to get back on track. I've been afraid. I've been hiding from him. I've been hiding from people, and I don't like looking in their eyes because I'm away from him. It's okay. It's really, really, really okay. If that's you right now, why don't you get out of your seat? Come join me down the front. I'd love to be able to pray with you. The whole church is going to welcome you as you come. Awesome. Fantastic. People from the right, left. Awesome, man. Fantastic. Awesome. Awesome. fantastic. Come on, others this morning. This is an incredible moment. We're family. You don't have to be embarrassed. You don't have to be afraid. This is a moment to rejoice and be glad. This is an awesome time. Come on, there are others this morning. Just come. You don't have to be afraid. God bless you, man. Come on, church. Why don't we just celebrate together? God bless you. Awesome. You know, the truth is, every day I mess it up. Every day. It's just like sometimes, like, oh. But there's something I do also every day, and that is just ask Christ to become a part of my life. Ask Him to come into my life and be the Lord and Savior of my life. And whether you're sitting down the back, front, side, left or right, you may not have had the courage to get out of your seat this morning. That's okay. God loves you, accepts you just as you are. We're going to pray together. And I want you to pray this prayer in your heart. And those that are down the front this morning, we're going to pray together, okay? We're going to pray together. I'm going to pray, so I want you to repeat after me. We're going to ask Christ to come into our lives, all right? Come on, church, we're going to do this together. Heavenly Father, come on, whole church. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love me and you accept me just as I am. I ask you to forgive me for living without you. And I ask you to come into my life and be the Lord and Savior of my life. I thank you for your forgiveness. I receive it now. And ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I thank you for every life here, Father, in the name of Jesus, that right now there'll be a significant moment in each of their lives, Father. I thank you for your touch of your Holy Spirit and power upon their lives, God, that you would seal in their hearts this moment, and that from today onwards it would be a different day. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for each of them. I thank you, Lord, for the things that they're challenged with. Lord, whether it be the stumbling blocks in life, Lord, the challenges, the issues of life that they face. Lord, I thank you that when you're in our life, we can smile at the storm. There's nothing that we can't do together. There's nothing that is impossible with you. I thank you for fresh courage and a courage to fill their hearts, a desire for you to fill their hearts, God, and that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. I thank you for this great church in the name of Jesus right now for a fresh touch, a fresh move of your Holy Spirit, God. We just thank you, Lord, for an open heaven, that this is the house of God, a gateway to heaven in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for every life, every home, every life that is represented here today, every family that's represented here today. Lord, I thank you for a fresh touch of your Holy Spirit upon our lives in Jesus' name. God, we thank you that every mountain would be brought low, every valley would be raised up, every crooked way would be made straight. We thank you, we declare, we prophesy in this place today, God, that the rough places will be made smooth in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you're amazing, God. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen.